be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may God use it this morning. Well, it's always important to know the context of the scripture that we're looking in and understand where it comes from, especially when we're just looking at a few little verses like this. So I hope that you keep your Bibles open so we can quickly look at the context together. So at the beginning of chapter 12, according to verse 1, it says that Jesus was teaching to a crowd of thousands. And then in verse 13, as he was teaching, someone in that crowd speaks out and asks him a question, or not even really asks him a question, but they give him a command. Essentially, verse 13 says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Kind of an audacious thing to say in the midst of that context in some ways, don't you think? But and that comment then launches Jesus into a teaching about material possessions. So look at verse 15. Jesus says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then Jesus tells this crowd a parable, a story. He tells them a parable about a wealthy man who had a particularly good year with his crop. And it was so good that his existing storehouses that clearly provided for him to have a lot of wealth already couldn't hold all of this new crop that he had. And so he decided what he was going to do was to tear down his existing storehouses and build bigger storehouses where he could keep the whole crop and then relax for the rest of his life and have it made. But then God speaks to the man and says, "Hey, buddy, you're a fool. Tonight, you're going to die. And all this stuff that you've tried to save for yourself will be a waste." And Jesus sums it up in verse 21. He says, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." And so he gives this parable to the whole crowd. But then, as he often does after he gives parables, he then turns to the disciples and he speaks directly to them. In verse 22 and following, he's speaking directly to the disciples. He reminds them about how God takes care of the birds and how God takes care of the flowers and says, if that's how God takes care of those things, the birds and the flowers, how much more will God take care of you? And it all builds to verse 31, which most of us know from Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says, "Seek his kingdom, seek God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." We're in the midst of a sermon series this summer that we're calling The Heart of Worship. And I hope that now you're beginning to memorize this definition of worship that we've been using throughout the series. Worship is ascribing ultimate value to something in a way that engages all of life. And when we think about worship in that way, it helps us to realize that we are worshiping all the time. The question is not, are we worshiping? The question is always, who or what are we worshiping? And when we think about worship in that way, we realize that Jesus is talking about worship in this passage. He starts out with that warning, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. That's a warning about to whom and or to what you give the highest value in your life. That's worship language. And then in verse 31, at the end of that, he says, seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom. He's instructing them about what they should seek, what it is that they should go after in life, what the highest value of their life should be. Again, that's worship language. You see, the bottom line, I think, is this. Jesus knows that one of the main things that we tend to worship is the idea of financial security. It's so easy for us to get caught up in materialism, isn't it? It's so easy to ascribe the highest value in our lives to the pursuit of the almighty dollar. The problem is there's only one almighty. And it is not a piece of paper that we use to trade or purchase goods and services. And so every time, church, that we ascribe highest value in life to a perceived financial security or to gaining more possessions or getting more things, then we set ourselves up for a fall because we're putting our highest value in something that is not worthy of it. Something that there's no guarantee it will last. Something that can be taken away or stolen. So in verse 33, right in the heart of our passage today, Jesus explains how they can guard against this kind of false worship, how they can guard against greed. And he sandwiches it between these two wonderfully important truths. So he starts with good news in verse 32. Look at it again with me. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Sound like good news? Yes! Yes! Beloved, this is really good news. I mean, just look at the second half of that sentence. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's talking about the Heavenly Father. And he's saying, your Father in heaven is pleased to give you the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom, which is the rule of God made manifest, or the reality, or a reality that reflects the full lordship of Jesus, not just in the future, but now and coming more in the future. The kingdom, in other words, is a really good thing for those who love and Jesus and want to live in right relationship with God and experience the fullness of his redemption. The kingdom is a good thing. And I just love what Jesus says here. He says, your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That's why today on Father's Day, not only do we give thanks for our earthly fathers, and by the way, happy Father's Day to you fathers, but as believers, we celebrate that we have such a good, good Heavenly Father. Beloved, He is pleased to give you the kingdom through faith in Jesus. And when we recognize that He's not just reluctantly giving it, that He's not just fulfilling a contract, when we realize that, we can be freed from greed. Right? Because when we recognize, for those of us who have put our faith in Christ, when we recognize that when we recognize what we have in Christ, it makes greed for material possessions seem trivial or silly. The beginning of a truly generous heart is recognizing that God has been truly generous to us. And so from that reality, from that good news, from that place of a good, good Father, Jesus says in verse 31, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. So how do we guard against greed and worshiping our financial security? We first recognize God's incredible generosity to us through Christ. And then we give generously to others. Jesus says, sell your possessions. So he's not messing around. He's talking about a kind of giving that is sacrificial. In other words, to sell your possession means you have to live with less. Offering our possessions generously to others who are in need means that we have to live with less. It is sacrificial. That's why we don't just give our kids money to put in the offering plate when it goes by. We say, take money out of your own allowance to put in the offering plate. The kind of giving that Jesus is talking about here is sacrificial giving that costs something. And when we do that, when we give that way, we are acting in a way that is opposite of the man in the parable, aren't we? Instead of building more and bigger storage containers that are not everlasting, when we are generous with our possessions, we are storing treasure in heaven. We're putting it in purses that will never spoil or fade, that will not run out, that will not wear out, that will never be stolen in broad daylight at the parking lot of COS. And then Jesus closes with language again about worship. Verse 34. Let's read it together because I know you know it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why do we give generously? We give generously to cultivate and nurture and eventually reflect a heart of worship. What we treasure or what we value, even if we treasure it a little bit, those things always have a tendency to become what we worship, to what we ultimately value in life. And so in the context of a warning that Jesus gives them about greed, Jesus tells his disciples, and we can hear it as unto us ourselves as well. He says, first, recognize the incredible generosity of the Heavenly Father. He has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And then second, because of that, give generously and sacrificially, and I would add from the whole of Scripture, wisely to those in need. And then third, he tells them that doing that puts their focus on heavenly treasure rather than on earthly treasure. In other words, it nurtures, it cultivates a heart of worship rather than a heart of greed. So, beloved, where are you storing your treasure? Are you building bigger storehouses so that you can hold on to all that you've earned? Mine. Or have you recognized the generosity of God in a way that has freed you up to be generous to others? Generosity to others nurtures, cultivates, and reflects a heart of worship. Two quick stories that I have to tell you that have come right from our church that are wonderful examples of this. I've been sitting on this first one for a while. I'm excited to begin to share it with you about it. Many of you remember Jack and Evelyn Hoover. Jack and Evelyn are both now with the Lord, but they joined this church in 1979 and were faithful members here. Somewhere along the line, Jack and Evelyn did something that showed where they were storing their treasure. In their will, they designated a portion of their resources to First Presbyterian Church Fresno. And over the last year or so, that very generous gift has begun to come in. And the session has been discerning how best to steward it, what God would have us do with it. And on Tuesday at our session meeting, we designated the first portion of those funds. And next week, while our mission team is in Albania, they will receive word, or maybe they've already received words, but next week the money will get there through the technology of electronic funds transfer to Albania, to our mission partners in Albania, so that they might expand the Bible school that has already impacted many young adults from around the world, even some of our young adults here in Fresno. We're going to help them grow that. It's been a dream that they've had that God has provided this cheese factory right next to the camp. And they've had a dream there of that they believe God showed them of building that place out and creating a whole nother section of their camp that they can use for their Bible school and their summer camp. The first phase of that project, they estimate, will cost $30,000. And so because of the incredible generosity of the Hoovers, we are sending $50,000 to their way next week. Yeah. And that's just the first portion. That's just the first assignment of this bigger gift that the Hoovers left for us. Just imagine if every single one of us left a portion of our resources to the church in our wills. Imagine what kind of impact that might make for our and witness it might be for the generations to come about what it means to offer up our resources to the Lord and His work. That's the first thing. Second, a few weeks ago, many of you saw Oscar Rodriguez's post on Facebook. Oscar is a member of our church, member of our church staff. And I'm not going to be able to tell you the whole of Oscar's story in this occasion, but I encourage you to ask Oscar. He's working today, but I encourage you to ask him about it. He had an unfortunate situation in which his phone and its case, and for Oscar, that case for his phone also serves as his wallet, that was lost, and it wasn't his fault. And like I said, I encourage you to get him more details from him. But there were lots of things that were tough about the situation. But one of them was that he had in his wallet slash phone slash, you know, case, he had an inordinate amount of cash in his wallet that he was going to use to help celebrate his daughter's birthday. And so when that phone was gone, not only was his phone gone and his ID and any other stuff that he had in there, but also that extra amount of cash was gone as well. And that stinks. And so on the Sunday following, he was asked to share in the Matthew Bible study about the experience that led to his phone being lost, because it tied in with what the group was studying in the Matthew Bible study during an education hour. And while Oscar shared about the experience, someone in the group asked, "How much cash did you lose, Oscar?" And so, of course, Oscar demurred, but eventually shared the amount of cash that was lost. And without delay, many of you were there, that class took up an offering right there. They passed something around, and at the end they handed Oscar a pile of cash that more than covered the amount of cash that he lost. Isn't that good? Both of those are examples of what Jesus meant when he said, "Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Both of those are examples of God's generosity shown through his people. Both of those are testimonies of Christ's power to change the way we think about money and possessions. When we realize God's incredible generosity to us, that he has been pleased to give us the kingdom, that when we seek his kingdom, we don't need to worry about these other things, that he will provide for us. It frees us up to be incredibly generous to others. And when we are incredibly generous to others, it allows them to see God's generosity to them. And all the while, it develops in us, it nurtures in us, it cultivates in us, and reflects in us a heart of worship. So, church, may it be so among us, more and more and more. Amen. Last thing. In just a few moments, we're going to take an offering. And if you noticed, offering is the title of this sermon. And the reason that I gave it that title is because I believe this passage teaches us that the heart of worship is one that is constantly offering our resources to be used for God's purposes. Offering our lives to the Lord, including our money, like I've said several times, hopefully you're catching it, nurtures and cultivates and even reflects a heart of worship. But I also gave this sermon that title because I wanted it to remind us of this particular thing that we do every week in worship. Have you noticed that every week in Sunday worship, we take an offering? Have you ever wondered why? Lots of churches don't take an offering in worship anymore. You see, it's more than just collecting donations. It's so much more than that. We take an offering because during worship, during our time of worship, during this precious time when every minute seems to count, because it provides us with a tangible reminder every week that what we do with our money is an act of worship. It's a reminder every week not to store up our treasures here on earth, but to store up our treasure in heaven. It's an action that we take every week that cultivates and nurtures a heart of worship, particularly in the way that we steward our financial resources. That's why we take an offering as part of our worship service. It is an integral part of our worship. It's not just add-on. It's not just this extra thing. It is right at the heart of what we do when we gather. So, even if you, like me, have set up a monthly deposit from your bank that goes right to the church, or have gone on the online deal and given online, which, by the way, thank you for doing that. It's a wonderful way for you to give to the church. Even if you are a person who gives annually or quarterly or monthly, I encourage you to think differently about the offering plate passing you by. And I'm not saying this just to increase the budget. I'm saying this as a matter of discipleship, as a matter of worship, that you would use that time week after week to remind yourself to surrender your money to the Lord. And so I just encourage you, and I've kind of felt convicted this week myself, that I want to put something in every week. I mean, even if it's just a little bit, just to remind me, Lord, I surrender this to you. I surrender my financial life to you. I surrender my money to you. And when we do that week after week, Sunday after Sunday, I pray that you will indeed grow in that heart of worship, that indeed that will just be one way in the midst of living generously all the time. It'll be one way that nurtures and cultivates and reflects a heart of worship. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for all that you have given us. You are a good, good Father. You have been so generous to us. You have given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we just take a moment right now just to acknowledge that, God, as we have several times today. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Help us now, by your Spirit, because of the faith that you have given us for Christ, that our lives would be transformed, that our minds would be transformed in the way that we think about money, that we wouldn't be like that guy who tore down perfectly good storehouses to build bigger ones, that we wouldn't be people who just aspire to have more and more and more and more. But God, we would be people recognizing your generosity that would give generously to others, sacrificially, trusting that you will take care of us, that you will provide. And all of it, God, for your glory, that you would nurture in us a heart of worship and be glorified through us, and that others would know, because of the generosity that you have shown to us and that we have shown to others, that those others would know your generosity toward them. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone who agreed said, Amen. I invite